Business groups are crowing today about the new Republican strength in Congress. They say they were more influential than ever before in electing pro-business candidates. On the other hand, it's promising to be a bleak winter in Washington for labor unions and other Democratic allies. They say they did their best, but the party let them down. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
In the claiming and blaming that has become a morning after elections ritual in Washington, one of the few cautionary notes today came from analyst Bernadette Booty. She works for the Business Industry Political Action Committee, or BIPAC.
No one knows who has won an election until there is the first critical vote on the floor of the House or the Senate. But from BIPAC's perspective, business will be better off tomorrow than it is today.
BIPAC's slogan is electing business to Congress. To elect business, BIPAC ran what it called the Prosperity Project with 1,700 businesses. Project Director Daryl Shule says the plan is to identify the Washington issues that affect a business, tell the employees where the candidates stand on the issues, and then make sure the employees vote.
You don't need to tell employees how to vote, but chances are your employees will vote for candidates that are favorable to your company's issues, and our polling backs that up.
The Prosperity Project is yet another attempt by corporate America to match organized labor's storied grassroots operation. BIPAC says it's not there yet, but the results yesterday show it's getting close. And BIPAC isn't the only business group working the grassroots. Now, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the National Association of Manufacturers rattle off newly revived wish lists of legislation. At the top of the lists, business tax breaks, Homeland Security, the energy bill with the Arctic drilling provision included, and a general easing of environmental regulations. Michael Baruti of the National Association of Manufacturers says the business agenda is America's agenda and conventional political wisdom is wrong.
Namely, that the American people were quite content to have gridlock in Congress, and they relished the fact that nothing was getting done. What they want is action. And certainly the economic front is one that we think is opened up to a new sense of possibility.
Baruti was speaking at an upbeat little press conference near the White House. A few blocks away, the AFL-CIO also called in the press, but the labor organizers had little reason to be cheerful. Steve Rosenthal, the man who built the grassroots operation there, said it worked fine, but the rest of the Democratic coalition seemed to have called in sick.
One of the problems that we saw across the country was there weren't enough other people out there, Democrats strapping on their running shoes to join in this effort. And in fact, what we found in place after place around the country was that union members were very lonely as they went out and knocked on doors.
Even more condemnatory, AFL-CIO President John Sweeney placed the blame on the Democratic Party. He said the proof was in exit polls of union voters.
Union members said they do not think either party has a plan to strengthen the economy. And that is a particularly strong indictment of the Democrats.
The claiming and blaming will go on as other groups analyze their exit polls. Two leading environmental organizations, the Sierra Club and League of Conservation Voters, had planned a news conference for tomorrow. Today, they canceled it. League President Deb Callahan said they need some time to think. One paradox of interest groups is that their support, financial and otherwise, often goes up when their political allies lose power. That's what happened with environmental groups when the GOP took over Congress in 1994. But in today's shaky economic climate, even big donors may not be able to run for their checkbooks. One environmental lobbyist said today, "There is no real silver lining to this. Yesterday was a debacle." Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.